Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins. Thank you for tuning in today. Please go and visit our sponsors, especially now. They need all the help they can get, and thank them for their support of CCTA. We've got Bob and Mary Griswold with us tonight.
Hello.
Hello.
And, of course, you know Mary is also Right Wing Granny at rightwinggranny.com. Constantly stirring the pot, but we appreciate it.
We do.
We've got Hal and Rainer James with us.
Hey there.
Hal and Rainer are longtime members of CCTA. Hal is currently the vice chair, and Rainer is our membership chairman. And they've held just about every other committee, chair, office, everything you could do in CCTA.
And we're looking for members.
Yes. We also have a couple of special guests with us. We've got 3rd District House of Representatives, Michael Speciale. And welcome, Michael. Good to have you with us tonight. And we also have Dr. Alan Harrop with us. Alan was on a show a couple of weeks ago, and it's good to have him back again.
Pleased to be back, Rick. Appreciate the invitation.
And Alan's also written a number of articles for the County Compass, too, for us.
Yes, he is quite a prolific writer, and we have had more than one of his articles in the County Compass.
As a matter of fact, Rick, there's going to be one in the paper that's on the newsstands as this comes out. So another home run for Alan.
All righty. Well, let's get started. Michael, tell us a little bit. I've heard about a thing the Democrats have going on up in Raleigh where they are signing a petition to defund the police. What do you know about that?
Well, they actually signed up in support of an organization whose one of its tenets is to defund the police. They made an issue that they never signed. You know, they're claiming that they never signed to defund, but the organization stands for defunding the police. So it's the same thing. It's like, you know, claiming to be a member of an organization, but I don't believe anything they say, but I'm a member.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of silly to say that.
Okay.
So I read somewhere, and I can't remember where it was, that there's a proposal in Asheville to cut the police budget by something like $770,000 this
right.
year.
Is that right? It's going on across the nation, and it is here in North Carolina now. And you can find out more about who those representatives are that are signed up for that.
Yeah, they're going to hold 911 and have a 5-minute wait or something like that.
I'll tell you what, it's gone crazy. Used to be a police officer was considered a public servant that was there. To you know, when I was a kid, if there was a problem and you needed help for whatever it was, if you saw the man in uniform, you went to him.
That's right? What my parents told me
right.
too.
And nowadays they're trying to teach you to either stay away from them or try to hit them with something or shoot them.
When I was a young fellow in elementary school, about I'd say the 6th and 7th grade, I was a safety parole officer. I was lieutenant on the force, and I could never figure out what the captain did. But anyway, they had me posted at the busiest intersection up there in Arlington. That was on Columbia Pike and Walter Reed Drive. And a police officer would come and pick me up after, you know, when it was time for me to get to school. And I was so proud. I mean, I rode to school every morning with a police patrol officer with him. And he was also a safety officer, and he had a TV show in which he drew cartoons, for children. And all of us kids thought he was a hero, you know? We thought he was wonderful.
Right. Well, school safety officers, that's another issue. I understand here in Craven County, we need additional school safety officers. And
I'm talking about SROs.
Yeah. School resource officers.
Yeah, he wasn't a resource officer.
Well, that was different times. Yeah. That, you know, you're talking, what, 50 years ago? Or?
Something like that. Yeah, wait a minute. No longer than that. I was about 60 years old.
Okay. Now, just so you know, the General Assembly has funded additional funding for SROs.
Right. And they were instrumental in getting Craven County Sheriff their emergency radio system that they needed. So, yeah, that's a good thing that we have going on here with our local or our state representatives here in eastern North Carolina. We also have Representative Keith Kidwell. He's not with us tonight, but Keith's getting a lot done. And, you know, folks, this election coming up, it's very important that you go ahead and download a sample copy of your ballot. Get familiar with it. Get familiar with the names that are on there. And don't stop on the front page. Turn it over. Go to the back and go all the way down to the bottom of the ballot. Because, folks, you got to go from the top to the bottom. We've got to have allies all the way from the president right down through Senate and the House and the local state Senate and House. Our lieutenant governor, our local county commissioners, our school boards, all those have to work together because without being allied with like-minded conservatives, it's going to be hard for anybody to get anything done.
And, you know, don't just look at the names and pick a name. Do some research.
Right.
Find out where the candidates stand. Find out if the where they stand is in alignment with what they've done historically, Lord. The candidates sometimes don't really tell the truth on their advertising.
Right.
They get very, very, very creative on the advertising.
Yes, they are very creative. And one of the candidates running for Craven County School Board will be very easy to find out his record because he's been there 28 years.
Yeah.
And he chaired it for 23 years. And so if you see
if you think the schools were in great shape, then that's one decision. If you think the schools have a lot to answer for, that would account for another one.
Right.
Yeah, when we had our forum, you know, our last public meeting for CCTA was a forum in which we had our guest speakers were each one of the candidates for school board, the candidates them at that time. Anyway, I remember Rick speaking up real fast and saying something to the effect that look at the down ballot. No, they asked Rick if you had two words to answer this question. Thank you, help me get it out. And he said down ballot, and he's right. Down ballot. People ignore it sometimes, and it's critical. It's really important.
Yeah, it got a chuckle from everybody present, Rick, but you made a point very strongly.
Since we're talking about voting, I think it's really important that everybody get out and vote in person. There are too many potential problems with the absentee ballots. Not as much with that, obviously. We don't have mail-in ballots in this state, thank God.
But you mean those massive
those mass mail-outs that they're doing in other states. But I think it's real important to get there. This fear about the virus, the election board is taking extraordinary precautions at the polls. And certainly if you can go to a grocery store, you can go out to shop, you can vote in person.
We talk about term limits and things like that. Well, this is where term limits get put into place.
Yes.
We don't need it in law. What we do need is people to go out and vote. And if you don't like somebody, if you think they've been there too long, then vote them out. This is you make the decision, and this is where you make the decision.
Right. That is the term limits.
Well, look, back to what Alan was talking about. I've got in my hands here the Craven County Voting Guide for General 2020. It says there are three ways to vote. One is absentee by mail. Absentee by mail, not mail-in. One stop for early voting, that starts on the 15th and runs through October 31st. And then we have Election Day, November 3rd. Those are the three ways to vote. And I also got a state voter's guide, and it says basically the same thing.
Good. Michael, can you give us an update on the situation with the voter ID? The judge had overturned it.
Well, there was a court case where the General Assembly, if you remember, you voted. The general public voted on a constitutional amendment.
Absolutely.
It was taken to court, and the judge ruled that it was unconstitutional.
Yeah,
now, how you can rule a constitutional amendment unconstitutional is beyond me.
Right.
But his theory or his argument was that the General Assembly was unconstitutionally or not legitimately seated because of gerrymandering, which is ridiculous. Because if that were the case, then everything that we did would have to be thrown out.
Right.
It was a silly decision. It was not based on law. It was based on his own agenda. And the Court of Appeals just sided with the General Assembly and with you, the public, in deciding that it was constitutional, obviously. But there won't be voter ID this time because there's not enough time to implement it. The Board of Elections has to print things for all 100 counties to instruction booklets and explain to them how it's done and what forms of ID that they're able to take and actually print booklets with those forms of ID. So there's a lot more to it than just saying, let me see your ID.
Right.
Michael, do you think that decision by that appeal court might be overturned by the Supreme Court?
Anything is possible. Anything is possible. We do. The courts in North Carolina are liberal. That's another reason to get out there.
That's why it's so important.
And get some of these folks that are going to use the law instead of their own opinions.
Right.
So anything's possible. We're hoping. I don't think that they will overturn it because, standing by the constitutional decision is actually the right thing to do. I mean, it's legally the correct thing to do.
Right. Okay, Hal mentioned the forum that we did on the school board. I'd like to announce there's another one coming up, and this one's going to be put on and hosted by Concerned Parents of Craven County.
Oh, good.
Okay, and that's going to be on October the 7th at 6 p.m., and it's going to be at the Flame Restaurant in Newburgh.
Nice.
And they've invited all the school board candidates, and they've invited the incumbents, which I might mention, none of which showed up at our forum. So we hope maybe they'll show up at this one. And any of the sitting school administration, I guess, it's available and can come. So that's October 7th, 6 p.m. at the Flame Restaurant, Craven County School Board Candidates Forum. Okay, we got to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the Newburgh area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in Newburgh. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in Newburgh.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in Newburgh, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in Newburgh.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com. Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend features delicious handmade Italian dishes like lasagna, spaghetti, fettuccine alfredo, stromboli, calzone, and many more. And now Panicelli's has home delivery. Panicelli's uses only the freshest ingredients, and they have fantastic New York-style pizza in four sizes or by the slice. Panicelli's Pizzeria also has great salads and subs. So today, head to River Bend, and Panicelli's is at 40 Shoreline Drive, or call Panicelli's Pizzeria for home delivery.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, while we're on the subject of school boards and things and elections and all that, and we've got Michael here to answer questions, I know that the State Board of Elections has just approved something to do with the ballots that they'll
the mail-in?
Yeah, they decided to give it 9 days before they for them to continue taking ballots by mail.
Now, this had to do with if the ballot was filled out incorrectly.
Oh, what were we just talking about? Yeah, not the ballot itself, but the request form. Is that what you're talking about?
It had to do with if the witnesses weren't properly signed, so I assumed it was the ballot.
Yeah, they've made some changes, and I don't know what all the changes are because I haven't had a chance to sit down and read it, but there was some question about them saying that you didn't need this witness signatures, a couple other things right. there.
And so also weren't going to cross-check right. signatures. And
exactly, no cross-checking of signatures. Well, and they'll have 9 days after the election that they can continue taking ballots in through the mail. Right.
I think they still have to be postmarked on time, don't they?
But they made a change to what defines a postmark. So there's a lot of craziness going on right now.
Can we make this any more complicated?
The General Assembly, the folks at the General Assembly are looking at what our options are. The Speaker right. and the President Pro Tem of the Senate are looking at what our options are. Well, we've got laws in place to prevent this stuff.
The part I'm talking about that I overheard was that if they send it in and it's incorrect, they can send it back and they are allowed to make the necessary changes. They don't have to start from beginning and do a new one. So
rather than the normal procedure is to spoil that ballot and begin anew with
right.
a completely
now,
different
now
ballot.
Now they can just go ahead and make the changes on the existing one and send it back, evidently.
Huh.
Oh, gosh.
So what happens if I make a mistake?
It's getting
on
sloppier
my
and sloppier and sloppier, and I think there's a reason behind that.
Right.
I do not like
well,
it.
Well, we're trying to bend over backwards to give a certain segment of our society the opportunity to put in office who they want.
Yeah, it's the same reason that our schools are no longer grading grammar and punctuation.
Or spelling.
Or spelling, right. I mean, that's ridiculous.
I suspect we'll be counting Chad's this year. May not be
but we don't
dimples.
Have
may
we
not
don't
be
have
dimples,
chads.
But
we will have them.
We're going to be looking for little lines and little dot marks.
Well, I marked my ballot in invisible ink. Didn't you see it?
That yellow marker should count.
How awful. I can't believe this conversation, and yet we've been prodded into having it.
Right. Well, you know, for decades, many decades, getting up and going to the polls and casting the vote worked just fine.
Yes.
And, you know, back then, a lot of people had to go all day long on the mule or a horse to get to the polls.
But none of us is quite that old, Rick.
which Rick, is why Election Day was a Tuesday, because people had to go, they went to church on Sunday, they had to have a day of travel to get to the polls.
Mm-hmm.
So they couldn't do it on Monday.
Didn't it used to be a holiday, too?
In some states.
Where I lived, it was.
I think it needs to be a national holiday. And have no excuses and no compromises.
And the purple thumb.
Yes.
All that was back in the day when Americans were taught to be responsible. We grew up being responsible for our actions. We knew that if we didn't get to the polls on Election Day, that we didn't get to vote.
Right.
We understood we needed to get there early in order to be able to vote. We understood a whole lot of things back then that a lot of folks today don't understand. It's the systematic destruction of our culture, and this is simply one part of it.
Right, yeah. And erasing of our history and everything else.
Since we've been talking about the Board of Education candidates, would you like me to read who they are?
Well, you can.
All right. We start with the Board of Education District 1. The incumbent is Stephanie A. King, and Perry Morris from up around Vanceboro is also a candidate, and then we're going to introduce a write-in candidate this evening. District 3 is Rick Hopkins, who's also our host and chairman, and Carr Ipock. His name is Carol G., but they call him Carr Ipock. And he's been there for, 28 years, something like that. Then in District 5, we've got Glenn Fink and Kelly Muse. In District 7, Naomi Clark, who is an incumbent, and Tim Colatoni, who's also running.
Right.
That's it.
Okay. Well, while we're on that topic, we'll go ahead and talk a little more about it. Here in Craven County, things are done a little different than a lot of the other counties across the state. In the primary, you can only vote for a candidate in your district. But in the general election, you get to vote for a candidate from each of the four districts that are running.
Right.
So that's the way it works in Craven County. Now, we were talking about the forum that was held. And let me make a disclaimer here. Now, this is getting harder and harder and harder because of the polarization of our two-party system. They are so opposite from each other. And we, being constitutional conservatives and looking for conservative candidates and, supporting the Constitution in conservative agendas, it gets real hard not to appear to be partisan sometimes. But when we say we're nonpartisan, our meetings are open to the public. When we have our forums, we invite every candidate, regardless of the party they're in. Anybody, general public, is welcome to come and attend. They will be given a voice as long as they're respectful and don't cause a disturbance. And we have people that come from both parties.
Surely.
Not a overwhelming number from one party, but they do come. There are some that come. At our candidates forum, there were some comments that were made, and Michael, you were there, and I think you got disturbed by one of the comments from one of the candidates.
Well, yeah, I was kind of upset because, my wife and I were leaning towards one of the candidates there that showed up. Neither one of the candidates are from the party that I'm in. However, you look at what you have and you look, in my case, we look for the most conservative candidate. And in this particular case on the school board, we're looking for people who are interested in education as a whole. We're not interested, we're not looking for somebody who wants to prop up the public school system. So one of the questions asked of the candidates was, where do you stand on, what are your thoughts on vouchers? Do you support them? Vouchers, private school, this and that. And one of the candidates in District 1 said no. He said, I don't support him. And then he started making disparaging comments about homeschoolers, about them being, the parents being lazy and not teaching the kids, taking advantage. I mean, he just went on for some reason, making some unnecessary comments. And I went up to him after it was over and I told him, and I said, look, I said, you had mine and my wife's vote when we walked in here, I said, but once you started talking, I said, there's no way we can vote for you. And so I looked at both candidates, and I just didn't see where I was going to get what I wanted to see in the school system. So in this particular race, you do have an opportunity to do, in school board races, you do have an opportunity to do write-in candidates. It's a little different than the way it's done for write-ins in some of the other races. For a school board, you just have to write their name in.
Oh, okay.
So I decided to get behind a gentleman who was in the race that it was three candidates in the primary, and he lost by a few votes. He didn't have, you know, a good name recognition at the time. But he has his PhD. He's a smart gentleman. He supports education. You've got to support education as a whole, not just the institution of public schools. Those people who support education as a whole tend to do the best job supporting our public school system. And so that was what I was looking for. And the individual that I'm talking about is Richard Allen Harrop, Dr. Richard Allen Harrop. I think he was a good candidate then, and I think he's a good candidate now. And anybody can write his name in. That's all you have to do is write his name, Richard Harrop or Allen Harrop, and he'll get a chance to talk and spell his name for you if you're interested.
I called I emailed Melanie Ray, who's our director of elections here in Craven County, and asked her what, in a situation where somebody wanted to do a write-in, did they have to have the name exactly as they are registered to vote, or what were the rules to do with it? And she replied that it didn't have to be any particular way. It just had to be quite clear whom you were talking about. So it could be R. Allen Harrop. It could be Richard Allen Harrop. It could be Allen Harrop. But so long as it was clear who the intended individual was that you were going to vote for.
All right. So when they say write in, I've seen most people's handwriting, and I suggest that you print in.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Having worked as chief judge at the polls, I have seen Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, and a number of other write-ins. So, Michael, thank you for that information. We happen to have Dr. Richard Allen Harrop with us tonight. And again, I want to point out that we're nonpartisan, so we are not endorsing him as a candidate. But because of the write-in option that is there, we felt it was necessary to let you folks know how it works here in Craven County, and that you do have a write-in option, and it just doesn't apply to District 1. It applies to any of the districts.
Sure. And the fact that this is being done, quite frankly, is news.
Yes, it is. So, Mr. or Dr. Harrop.
Well, thank you, Rick, and thank you, Mike, Michael Speciale, for having confidence in me and wanting to encourage me to run again. I did run in the primary because I have a lot of concern about where the public school system is going in this country generally and in Craven County in particular. I do want to make the point that you spell my last name H-A-R-R-O-P as in Paul. So I think if you get that part of it right, I guess they'll know who you're voting for.
Okay.
I do want to just give you a general idea of what I stand for and why I'm running. First of all, the position is member of the Craven County Board of Education. And it doesn't say Craven County Board of Public School Education. It's the Craven County Board of Education. And I take that to mean education should be the primary focus, regardless of how that education is being delivered. For example, education can be validly delivered by public schools, obviously private schools, charter schools, and, of course, homeschools. And my background, I have three children and seven grandchildren. And I personally, my youngest daughter, she attended public school. We homeschooled her for a few years, and she went to a charter school.
So I have experience with all three of those options. And I can say that contrary to what this other candidate said at the forum, it's been my experience that homeschoolers are a very dedicated group of parents who not only want the best education for their children, they will sacrifice in order to achieve it. And generally, if you look at the performance of homeschoolers, it exceeds most public education forums. So hopefully that might lay to rest the criticism by my candidate, my opponent, that now that I'm back in the race as a write-in candidate.
And the whole point now for you getting on there and for getting good people on the board is so that we can bring up the scores in the schools and bring up the, you know, so that it's there's not this huge disparity.
So the children can actually read and write and do math.
So, Alan, you mentioned the sacrifice that these parents make. And one of those sacrifices is financial. They're paying taxes for public education, but they're also having to pay for the curriculum and the homeschooling, the materials there. And that's where the vouchers come in.
Yes, that's absolutely correct. I'm glad you brought that up. My original platform when I was running in the primaries included strong support for parent choice and also for school vouchers. I believe that the money should go for the education should go to the parents, and the parents should direct that those funds in the direction that their children are receiving the best education in their view.
And, but you, as a board member now of the local board, wouldn't have anything to do with vouchers because that's a state
that's correct
General Assembly.
But however, we can certainly support it and encourage it from the local level to the state level. We may not be able to affect that law, but I think parents need to know that the school board in their local area supports those efforts, and that's what I intend to I intend to do. What can get done about it may be outside of our venue at the moment, but
one thing that rankled me particularly about what Perry Morris had to say at our forum was that homeschool parents were just too darn lazy to get up and get their kids in school, get them dressed, and get them ready to go to school. I thought, that is so crazy. You know, that's what an awful statement to make.
Actually, if I were a lazy mother, I'd hustle around, get the child ready to go to school and off to school, and then have hours and hours to do anything I wanted or nothing
at all. First thing would be another cup of coffee.
Hush.
All right. Well, we need to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutritional Consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers, and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout Eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
All right, welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. We're talking to Dr. Alan Harrop, who we have just found out is going to be a write-in candidate. He was in the primaries, and he didn't make it through the primary, but he was very close. And we have some people that feel like they need another option in that district. Now, Alan, since you weren't able to participate in the forum, tell us briefly what sets you apart from the other two candidates in that district.
Well, I think generally, Rick, I believe that the public school system needs to get the support and needs to be the highest quality that we can make it. And that goes back to teacher selection, superintendent selection, monitoring their success, rewarding success in certain schools. And that needs to be made available to the public. The public needs to know which schools are performing, which schools are lagging behind that may need additional attention. And we, as members of the school board, need to focus on that. For example, I understand that over the last couple of years, there's been quite a bit of a reduction in the number of students attending the schools in Craven County. And I believe that we as a school board need to formally investigate the reason for that.
Well, I think if you compare the performance, the results in Craven County with surrounding counties, it's not just a small difference, it's a huge difference, and Craven County is really lagging behind. And if you're a parent moving into the area and you're looking for a place for, you know, to put your kids in school, you're going to look at those adjacent counties above Craven County, and that's why, one reason I believe we're losing them. But again, tell us about, if you were on the Board of Education, transparency is a big issue with the parents now. That's one of the issues that keeps coming up. So what do you have to say about transparency with the
Well, I think transparency has to do right from the beginning of what is being taught, the curriculum. The parents need to have a thorough understanding of the curriculum, and they need to understand that curriculum, particularly into the extent to which there may be negative education or emphasis on things that are contrary to American values and standards. And so the curriculum needs to be transparent to the parents. I think also, as I mentioned, the performance of the different schools needs to be available to them. There was some concern expressed by parents about gender education. And I certainly support the notion that parents, before sex education is given to children, particularly children in elementary school, that the parents should be advised as to what is in that particular curriculum and have an opportunity to indicate whether they want their child to participate or not. Not that the child is automatically enrolled and then as a parent you have to find out what's going on and take the child out. The schools should be required to go to the parents, explain the curriculum, and then the parents must agree to have the child attend that particular facet. Because traditionally, the things that are taught in sex education, elementary school, are fraught with a lot of problems. And traditionally, it was not part of school's function. Schools should function on basic educational things, reading, writing, math. That's what the focus should be on. And I think that's part of the problems with the schools. There's too much time being spent on these esoteric secondary issues, and there's not enough focus on the primary skills. And that's why the overall performance doesn't meet the expectations and perhaps other counties.
What, since we're on transparency, what about transparency on the part of the board? Now, North Carolina has sunshine laws that you can only go into closed session under certain circumstances, like such as discussing personnel issues. But it seems like the board here goes into session, and a lot of times they don't explain a closed session. They don't explain why they're going to closed session, which is a requirement. They must tell the public that's out there why they're going into closed session. What are your views about doing business outside of the view of the public eye, except in those cases when it's
legitimately authorized? Well, I don't think the school board, if I was on the Board of Education, that should have anything other than, as you mentioned, personnel items that should not be discussed in the light of day. I mean, this is a system that's paid for by the taxpayers. Taxpayers need to know what's their money's being how the money's being spent. So I would be certainly in favor of open meetings and having parents, and I also be in favor of minutes of meetings and so on, of school board meetings that are distributed in the public. I mean, there's so many different electronic mechanisms now for getting minutes of meetings out to parents that are interested. And so I would be in favor of openness to the greatest extent, consistent with, like you say, if there's any kind of personnel issues that have restrictions that have to be met. But other than that, I'm in favor of open transparency. And I will not sign any agreement. I understand it. In the past, there's been some indication that new school board members have to sign some sort of a document agreeing that they would not discuss anything contrary to the board's final decision. And I would not sign something like that, because oftentimes the minority opinion and a discussion can only be transparent if both sides of the issue are provided.
All right. What you're referring to is the non-disclosure agreement. Getting back onto transparency, one of the big concerns of parents that I've heard voiced quite often is you take our county commissioners and our board of aldermen, their meetings are live streamed and on cable TV on the cable channel. What's your views on that?
I think that's a wonderful idea. Again, I don't see as a potential Board of Education member where there would be any topic about the education in the county or the public schools that should not be shared with the public. I mean, I just don't, unless there's something I'm missing in it, and I doubt it.
Right.
I think it's just a habit people get into, and then people lose trust. I mean, you can have trust in something when you can see what's going on and it's transparent. And people lose trust in the system when that system seems closed and guarded and making decisions out of the light of day. Because, and sometimes it hurts the board too, because you might make a very valid decision that may, if on the surface of it, appear questionable, but you don't understand the reasons why the board made that decision.
Right.
So it may actually help their credibility.
Good. Hey, Alan, I think you partially answered what I've had my hands up for a while to talk about. But, you know, I got so disappointed one time. We had a person that was in the same district that I'm in, the school board district, got elected, and I felt like I'd been pretty, had helped him somewhat in his election. Well, after he got elected and I had a question about something that was going on in the school board, I went and asked him about it. And you know what he said? He said, "We're instructed not to speak except the chairman of the board speaks, but we're our board. I can't say anything about it." And I couldn't believe it.
Right. Yeah, that's what gets back to what Rick was saying, that rule apparently is something that they've been following. And from what I understand, remember, they require you to sign that agreement. I would not do that.
Remember, you had the same chairman on that board for 23 years.
Yeah, and I think that notion was his baby.
And that system was built, and been there 28 years. We're going to take another break to hear from our sponsors. We'll come right back and finish this up.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Y'all ready for this? The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, Alan, I've been talking to you as Dr. Harrop, but you haven't told us what your background is. So,
I can just briefly go over that, Rick. I was originally born in Long Island, New York, but I've lived in North Carolina for 45 years. I married a beautiful young lady from North Carolina. I got my bachelor's degree at State University of New York in Stony Brook, and I got a master's degree at East Carolina University, taught there for a couple of years, and then went on and got a PhD at North Carolina State. And then I worked with the North Carolina Department of Correction for 30 years and retired from there. I was the chief psychologist and the director of mental health services, which included mental health program services, the educational system within the prison department. And that's pretty much my background.
Okay. Well, thanks for sharing that with us, Al.
Yeah, another question I'm just burned to ask, so thank you. I don't mean any disparagement against Dr. Megan Doyle, who's the superintendent of public schools, so I hope people don't take it that way. But I see a lot of business people as I go around with, I visit them. And one of them was expressing to me that he wondered about why we paid extravagant, county paid an awful lot of money to bring a superintendent of schools in from another county, rather than looking around for the best talent that we've got in the county and giving them a promotion and a reasonable raise to be the superintendent. What do you think of that? Which way?
Well, I'm going to be probably controversial here. I'm going to say that I think that school systems would be served by looking at people for those positions, like the head of us, like the superintendent, mm-hmm. that are not necessarily came up through the education system.
Oh,
I think a view from outside the system is frequently very valid. I mean, we see that with President Trump, where he came in office. He wasn't a politician, but he came in. He's an action person. He gets things done. And no matter how much you think you're your own person, when you come up through a system, you learn a certain way of thinking, and you see problems in a way that other people might not see it. And a new person coming in might see those difficulties and say, well, let's try that, or let's take a look at this. And maybe that something like that would be a positive thing for the school system.
You really spread a different
instead
look
of, you know,
me.
Always thinking,
that.
Well, it's got to be somebody that's got 30 years, you know, in the education system.
I think you bring up a valid point. I'd like to point out that of the four candidates, you have three definite conservatives. And if you are a write-in candidate for the fourth one, then that's four conservative seats that you have an opportunity as a voter fill in on the school board that have no background in education other than what you just mentioned. Yours was in the prison system. They are not part of the establishment. They don't have any political favors to pay back or anything like that.
Be still my heart.
They all are qualified, because the qualifications don't mention anything about having been a teacher or principal or any part of the system. And this establishment that gets created by longevity inside of the administration and all, a good example of how that works is they just renewed the superintendent's contract. There's still 2 years left on the existing contract. Now, why, just before an election of a new school board, would you extend the contract of the superintendent?
And with the in-ground.
Tie the hands of the future board.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
They're a little worried then, Rick.
Why's that?
Well, if they'd want to get it done during this administration, you know, it's like the Democrats at the U.S. level wanting Trump to wait till after the election to name somebody to replace Judge Ginsburg.
Well, again, that's establishment.
That's right.
That's deep state and establishment that's there. And we're going to get labeled as conspiracy theorists if we ain't careful.
Okay.
No, wait a minute. We already have been. Okay. Well, Dr. Hare, thank you so much for joining us.
You're certainly welcome.
Tonight.
And I just want to say to everybody that's listening, I will do my dead level best to provide an objective view of the issues within the education in Craven County, and I'm open to suggestions and ideas, and we'll be open to those to the taxpayers, and hopefully do my part to improve the system that, from what I understand, needs a lot of improvement.
All right. Well, thank you, Alan. Representative Speciale, you have any parting words of wisdom for us?
I just want to see everybody get out and vote for the best candidates. And we, you know, I hear all the time about term limits. Here's your opportunity. These people have been there 20, 25 years. It's time for them to go. We appreciate their service, but we need to get some fresh blood and some fresh thoughts and some fresh ideas into that school system.
Couldn't agree with you more. Bob?
One quick one before we sign off. Monday night, we were privileged to be there when an organization gave Chip Hughes a wonderful honor for standing strong for the Constitution in this day and age the way that we've been treated by the governor.
Right.
God and Country Freedom Award.
Yes.
God and Country Freedom Award. Yes.
Well-deserved award, too.
I was the second recipient of that.
Don't break your arm, Mike. I'll pat you on the back.
All right. Well, let's get around to a little bit of CCTA business. Hal is our program chairman. Hal, what's on the schedule for October?
Well, I've had the same suggestion for tonight from Michael, and the same one Rainer had already suggested to me, and I think it's a very good suggestion. We haven't heard from the people that are running to replace Michael and as the representative from this area in the North Carolina House. Steve Tyson is the Republican candidate. Save my life, I can't remember where the Democrat one is. Anybody know?
Isn't Dorothea something?
Is it White?
White, I think it's Dorothea.
Okay,
White.
I could look at. I've got the thing. All right. Anyway, I think that's an excellent idea. So we'll invite all of the people around here that are going to be running for that. Keith Kidwell, he's running again from part of Craven County, And it would include Steve Tyson and his opponents and so forth, both their opponents, right.
The House of Representative candidates for this area.
Yeah, and we'll have a forum very similar to what we did for the school board candidates, and we'll have questions prepared in advance for them and things like that.
Okay, that sounds good. Good opportunity for you to come out and get to know the candidates, to meet them face-to-face. You will be given an opportunity to ask them questions. You know, that's part of the process. That's a learning experience for you.
I just want to mention that at the last forum, Patty Mason did a wonderful job moderating the panel.
I'm glad she did. Maybe she'll do it again for us. We'll see. She has offered to help in a lot of ways recently.
Okay. Well, I'd like to remind you that you're listening to CCTA Wake Up Call. CCTA is Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, and Michael Speciale is one of the founders.
You're here.
He was the founding chairman.
The founding chairman.
Yeah, when Rain and I first moved down here to North Carolina, we went down to the Croker Festival in Oriental. And this guy walked up, a big, tall, handsome guy walked up to us, and he said, "Have y'all registered to vote?" I said, "Well, we just moved here, and we hadn't."
It's on our list.
It's on our list. And he said, "You haven't registered yet?" And I said, "No, sir." He said, "Right this way." Signed us up on the spot. And the next time we saw him, we had gone down to Morehead City to attend a rally of the PT party. We didn't know there was any sort of a conservative group organized here in Craven County. And something we told somebody about this Tea Party we went to down in Craven County, and they said, "Why don't you look into the CCTA here in Craven County?" So we found out where the meetings were, went to the next meeting. Who was sitting there but Norman Sanderson and Michael Speciale? You know, it's a small world when you get into the conservative groups.
Right. Well, Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, CCTA, holds monthly public meetings that are free and open to the public. They are nonpartisan. Everybody's invited to come and join in to public discourse. And we just love to see more and more people get involved. Rainer is our membership chairman, and she would love to have you come and talk to her and get involved on some of the committees that we have.
Absolutely. We do a lot, but we could do a whale of a lot more with more
You can get in touch with Rainer at rainer@cctaxpayers.com. Now, the reason it's rainer@cctaxpayers.com, because that's our website also, cctaxpayers.com, where you can find out everything you need to know about CCTA. Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. I hope y'all enjoyed it, and we'll come back and tune in and join us again next week.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
The CCTA truly appreciates their sponsors because their support makes it possible for Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association to bring all of you Wake Up Call every Sunday. Those sponsors include Professional Auto Services on Country Club Road in New Bern, Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutrition consultant, Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend. Other great supporters are RightWingGranny.com with a unique perspective on the news, B&J Seafood on US 70 in New Bern, the North Carolina Fisheries Association, Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair on Highway 17 South in New Bern, also the County Compass, serving Pamlico, Beaufort, Craven, and Carteret counties, Dr. J. Singleton, Moore's Old Time Barbecue. Tune in for the CCTA Wake Up Call every Sunday on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240.